Have a seat. What is your knee-jerk reaction when you're confronted by events or people that take you by surprise? We've all been through a lot, and we know the world can be a sometimes difficult place, so it's not unreasonable for a knee-jerk reaction to be one that draws us back quickly, makes some space between us and whatever that thing is. I like to think we do this in order to assess situations carefully before responding directly. That's wisdom. We know we're in relationship with everything around us, even people and events that take place far, far away from here. When our news sources tell us about things that happen, even things that aren't necessarily specifically about us, it still has an impact on our lives. It shapes the way we understand our neighbors. We learn to interact with others based on this incoming information. Our relationships end up extending to all sorts of things. As followers of Jesus, our primary relationship is with God. And the medium for that relationship is the scripture record. We understand the documents contained within the canon as the Word of God, and we know that God is alive. Therefore, this book we call the Bible is more than just a static collection of stories all bound up together in a single volume. Oh, no. The Bible is a channel of communication with the divine. Through these stories and poems and parables and visions, God interacts with us. God sends out all sorts of channels of communication to draw us ever deeper into a relationship with God and by extension into a relationship with others. The scriptures aren't just the living word of God. They're the living and eternal conversation with our divine cosmic creator. Being in relationship with God through the scriptures allows for a real-time, back-and-forth conversation based on the things that we experience in these stories. Many of the stories in the scriptures are wonderful. Some are terrifying. All provide us with opportunities to strengthen our faith so that we can put into practice in our everyday experiences with others what we learn about God's relationship with us. Because it's a conversation, we get to talk back to the texts. The scriptures are a dialogue. There are many places in the scripture record where people of great faith speak back to God. While God is almighty, omnipotent, and all-powerful, God is not above persuasion. God has been known to change God's mind about the plans that God has decided to enact based on conversations with people. For example, in Genesis, Abraham dialogues God down from God's plan to destroy an entire city. Abraham asks, "If 50 righteous people can be found in the city, will you still destroy the whole thing?" And God relents. "How about 40? Abraham pushes back. And God says, "Okay, if there's 40 people, I will not destroy the city." And back and forth they go, Abraham engaging with God and God responding to Abraham's concerns. Elsewhere, in the book of Jonah, God saw that the people of Nineveh had changed their sinful habits, and God decided not to destroy them after all. God may be powerful enough to run the whole universe without us, but God so longs to be in relationship with us that God is willing to do things differently if it means that we get to keep talking. Keep engaging, keep growing and learning what it means to be made in God's image alongside God. The human-divine relationship is really important to God. I think sometimes God says and does things that force us into a conversation. Perhaps when we're too quiet for too long, God reaches out with something that gets a knee-jerk reaction out of us. And then God waits to see what we'll say and do and how we'll respond to see where we are in this human-divine relationship of ours. Today is one of those days, and two things happen in our gospel reading. First, there is a woman who approaches Jesus with an ask when Jesus is in a moment of tiredness, when he wishes to take a little break from all the things he's been up to lately. He seems a bit grouchy to me. Up until now, we've been learning about God's abundant love. In the kingdom of heaven, there is plenty, there is health, there is inclusiveness, there's room for everyone at the table. But in this moment, there doesn't seem to be any of those things. It's a bit distressing to see how Jesus treats this woman. I think God puts this moment there to give us that knee-jerk reaction. Did Jesus just call that woman a dog? That's kind of mean. If you were there in that moment, would you be among the disciples looking nervously around the room to see if anyone's going to speak up about that? I would. If I were way in the back of the room where no one could see me, I'd totally say something. This is one of those moments that should catch our attention. It should absolutely make us want to stand up and speak out. The way Jesus is treating this person is not at all consistent with what Jesus teaches about welcoming the stranger and caring for orphans and widows and restoring the outcast and the lonely. Is Jesus really being mean to this poor woman and her child? Or does the gospel writer Mark just not write the description of Jesus' one raised eyebrow as he looks around the room sideways at everyone to see who's going to stand up for this woman? Who among us will put Jesus' teaching into practice when the moment presents itself? I kind of feel like this is a setup. Jesus is testing us to see if we readers have learned enough over all our years of discipleship to stand up for this woman in this moment and say, this is not okay. And then another thing happens. Before any of us can even drum up the courage to think about standing up in solidarity with this woman begging for mercy for her daughter, the woman herself shows us how it's done. This is no ordinary woman. This is a woman entirely self-possessed. She comes to Jesus in faith because her relationship with God is so alive and so real and so responsive, she is not intimidated by talking back to God. Did she just correct Jesus? Did she just call out the Son of Man on his hard-hearted dismissal of her? Yes, she did, because she knows God will hear her and respond to her concerns. Her relationship with God is so strong that she can speak candidly with God and expect a proper response. Just as when God responded to Abraham's pushback and the repentance of the whole city of Nineveh, God reveals God's gracious nature to this Syrophoenician woman. Talking back and engaging with God was the Syrophoenician woman's knee-jerk reaction to her initial contact with Jesus. Her knee-jerk reaction was to insist that justice be done and to believe that not only was this possible, but that she had a role to play in getting it to happen. Those who witnessed this moment, and those of us who witness it in the text today, get to take in a lot of lessons about the human-divine relationship and God's desire for us to keep growing and keep learning what it means to be disciples of the God of justice and mercy. If your knee-jerk reaction to this story had you wondering what is going on here, then you are a very observant student of the master teacher. If you thought, if you were there in that moment, you would have had to hit the pause button and question Jesus out loud, then your relationship with God is good and well and healthy. If your first reaction to the Syrophoenician woman's plight was informed by compassion and the desire to find a way to get this woman the help that she was asking for, then you are doing very well in your journey as a disciple. If by the end of the story you breathed a sigh of relief that the woman's child was made well, then I've got good news for you. Your relationship with Jesus, the master teacher, is progressing at master-student level. Jesus can be tricky sometimes. This is not the only episode where we'll hear him say or do something that makes us react or disagree or even argue. God is not interested in a passive relationship with God's people. God desires a relationship with humanity that is responsive, conversant, and engaging. If God has to shake us up to make sure we're still paying attention to God's teachings, then God can do just that. As we make our way through the scripture record, consider it an avenue for building a stronger relationship with God and with your fellow human beings. And then, as you go about your daily lives, be on the lookout for all those little moments where all your dialogue with God can impact the world around you in positive ways. If your knee-jerk reaction comes from a place of compassion, then well done, good and faithful servants. If your knee-jerk reaction comes from a place of recognizing the humanity in others, then very well done, good and faithful servants. If your knee-jerk reaction compels you to speak out and work for a more just and peaceful world, then you are indeed a very good and faithful servant. I pray that we all continue to cultivate faithful knee-jerk reactions to the needs of the world around us in the best possible ways. Amen.